Father,
I love you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us the freedom to be in this house today, to worship you, to call upon your name. Lord, to carry our Bibles in here, to read from these Bibles, to honor the God of the Bible, the Christ of our salvation. Holy Spirit, have your way in these next few moments. Let the word go out today and let it speak to hearts and address specific needs, O Lord, as only you can. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. If you know Jesus this morning, let me just tell you that you are children of the Father, that you are citizens of the kingdom, that you are parties to the covenant, that you are a part of His body, that you are members of the bride, you are stones in a building, you are new creations. You are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. You are an holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And you are accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah! That's who you are. That's who you are. The old song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Followers of Jesus have been called disciples, saints, believers, Christians. Followers of the Savior have also been called overcomers. Overcomers. I like what Brian Harbor, Baptist pastor, had to say about this. He said, whether or not you're an overcomer has nothing to do with the circumstances around you. It has everything to do with the commitment inside you. The Word of God has a lot to say on the subject of overcoming. Job chapter 17, verse number 9, we start our scripture journey today, and it's kind of a long journey, but we'll get there. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friend, what God started, God is big enough to finish. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't build His home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. God is going to take us all the way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Say that with me. I am not ashamed. Praise the Lord. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. This has to do with investments. Those of us who have placed our hands in the nail-scarred hands and have set out on a journey to follow Jesus best we know how to follow Him, we have committed our lives unto Him. We have made the investments of our lives and placed those investments in His hand. And Paul's language here to Timothy indicates something on the nature of guarding the deposit. God will guard the deposit that we have made for eternity into the hands of the Savior. Man, 1 John 4 and 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. There's that word overcome. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5 and 5. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, Jesus instructed John the Revelator while he was on the Isle of Patmos to write letters to the seven churches located in the Mediterranean basin. Though the contents of the letters varied from church to church, one topic was discussed in all seven of these letters. To the church at Ephesus, in Revelation 2 and 7, he writes, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2 and 11, he writes to the church at Smyrna, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To the church at Pergamos in Revelation 2:17, he writes, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. There's some names that my wife and I call each other around the house. We dare not call them in this building. They are our private pet names for each other. I have always read that scripture and thought, well, that's what that is. That's God's pet name for us. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have an imagination? Hallelujah. Revelation 2, 26 through 28, the church in Thyatira was told this, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. My lands, praise God. A diamond might be forever, but God's going to give somebody a star. Woo! I think that thing won't knock your eyeball out. Revelation 3, 5, to the church of Sardis, he writes, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3 and 12, to the church at Philadelphia, he writes, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:21, to the church at Laodicea, he writes, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The promise to the overcomers, the promise that there will be people who will overcome. Now, there are a lot of folks in the world today that would tell you that religion is past, it's over. They would tell you that God had his day, but God's day is over. Oh, no. No, no, no. Listen, some people think that they're looking at sunset. What they're really looking at is sunrise. Amen. The best days of God Almighty are the days just ahead. Now, he was pretty good in the past, but he's got some stuff cooked up that'll blow your socks off your feet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What does it take to be an overcomer? I have a rather lengthy passage here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. It's worth the read to read through it. I want to share it with you. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Three elements mentioned in verse 11 that are needed to make us overcomers. The blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist is baptizing. The scripture said the next day, John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in Old Testament times, the Lamb was for a household. But in Jesus, we find the Lamb of God that's able to take the sin of the whole world. He died for everybody. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. In the NIV, Peter writes, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that think when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden that it was a divine oops. Something God had not foreseen. But in the council rooms of glory, the Bible said that the Lamb of God was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 1, another telling verse. There is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Notice the continuing verb, cleanseth, cleanseth, cleanseth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34, and the NIV said, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2 in the NIV, it says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you this morning that every right and privilege we have from God is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you picked up on it a while ago, you noticed that in Revelation chapter 12, the enemy is called the accuser of our brethren. Well, let me tell you, the current scene in heaven is much like a courtroom scene on earth. If you notice also in that long passage from Revelation 12 that I read, there will come a time that Satan will be permanently and forever expelled from the throne area, from the area of divine things. Right at this time, he has access. He can go in. That's his business, to go in and appear for court. He is the accuser of our brethren. He is, if you please, the prosecuting attorney. We're on trial before a judge. There are two opposing attorneys. It's attack and counterattack. It's accusation and rebuttal. Satan is the accuser of the brethren before the throne of judgment in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, our attorney, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The man Christ Jesus. When Satan, the prosecuting attorney, accuses us before the judge, Jesus, our defense attorney, says, objection, Your Honor. There is no evidence of sin in the life of my client. His sins have been forever expunged. And then he holds his hand out to the judge. And he says, I hold in my hands the proof of his pardon. Hallelujah. He has been released from his debts. His sins have been blotted out. Sir, his transgressions have been removed from him as far as the east is from the west. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Furthermore, sir, the burial place of his record of wrongdoings is deeper than the deepest ocean. Sir, my client is clean. I give you my word. And then the judge says, objection sustained, case dismissed. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The blood of Jesus is our total covering and pardon. The blood of Jesus is the only answer we ever need to overcome Satan's accusation. The only one. We have perfect confidence in Christ. Calvary covers every accusation. His blood atones for us. It satisfies the holiness of God. The Father has accepted us in the Beloved. We are holy and blameless in His sight. Amen. Holy and blameless in His sight. What can we say about God's love? What can we say about it? We can say that God's love is unconditional. God does not say, I love you if. There are no ifs in the heart of God. The love for God, of God for us, does not depend on what we do or say, on our looks, our intelligence, our success, our popularity. God's love for us existed before we were born and will exist long after we have died. God's love is from eternity to eternity and is not bound to any time-related events or circumstances. God's divine love is a forever type thing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. The Apostle Paul spells this out. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Where he writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. There are things that happen long before you were born. There are things that happened in the council rooms of glory long before there was an earth that was created. Before there was a star ever flung out into the space. There were plans being formulated aeons ago that affect us here in this room today. God is not taken by surprise. He knows the future as well as He knows the past. Because God dwells in the eternal now. There is no future with God. It's now. He is the God of now. He is the God of this moment. He is the God who is forever. He has knocked out both ends of eternity and inhabits both ends of it. Almighty, we cannot fathom that. Everything that we put our hands to, everything, every idea that we have, every plan that we draw upon the board, it has a beginning, it has a middle part, it has a consummation. We have boundaries, but God knows no boundaries regarding what we call time. Because He is the eternal one. The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are His everlasting arms. So we overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, nothing's happening in our world that's taken God by surprise. Nothing. There isn't anything going on that God didn't know was going to happen. He knows it. Now, if in the Old Testament God would use words like, my servant Pharaoh, Are my servant Nebuchadnezzar, who, by the way, thought he was bigger than God, and God made a cow out of him. Read it. It's an interesting little story. Put Nebuchadnezzar on his all fours and made him grow claws like an eagle and eat grass like a cow. When he got through with that little experiment, Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? I think I was mistaken in some of my philosophy. If God could call Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and if God could call world leaders as if they were puppets on a string, there isn't anybody in power today or will be in power tomorrow that he is not aware of, and he will not suffer anything to happen that is not supposed to happen. If it happens, you know what the extreme law of God is? If I don't have it, I don't need it. That's the extremity, because he said he'll supply all my needs. So if I don't have it, apparently I don't need it. Got it? Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, we overcome through the word of our testimony. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I was in a room yesterday reading the Bible to one of the little shut-ins at Shannon Springs. I had no idea I had more of an audience than that. I got through with the chapter I was reading and looked up, and there was a big old hunk of a man standing in the doorway. I was taken by surprise. He said, I got in on the last of it. Man, I wish I'd have got in on all of it. He said, would you mind to come across the hall and talk? I don't know if it's his grandpa or who it was, but would you go? I said, I'm not sure about him. I'm not sure about his soul. Went over there and talked to the old man about Jesus and found out he does know the Lord. But I want to tell you something, friend. We overcome through the word of our testimony. We are not ashamed to call him our Savior. Now, I've been ashamed of myself. That means you've ever been ashamed of yourself. You and I, we've all been ashamed of ourselves. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to own that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord and my Savior. That is the word of faith that I confess to him and for him. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33 in the NIV. Whoever acknowledges me before men, Jesus says, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I would just like to have the comfort of knowing that I was included in the conversation that took place among the divine Trinity around the throne of God. I just like to think that they know who I am, know my name, and call my name occasionally. I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Mark 8 and 38 said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I'm not ashamed to own that Jesus bled and died for my sins. I'm not ashamed of it. There's been a lot of people that said, oh, if I go down there to that altar and get on my knees and get all emotional, cry and all that stuff and pray, what will so-and-so think? What will they think 100 years from now? It's not going to matter what they think. It doesn't matter now what they think. It's your soul we're dealing with. It's your eternity. That's what it's all about. You see, it's just like this. We either bow willingly now, or one day we will bow being forced to bow. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Doesn't leave anybody out. Now, these confessions that we've talked about just a moment ago, they put us in good standing with God. And they affirm our standing with God before men. People who are going to be overcomers will overcome through the word of their testimony, through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of their testimony, and third and finally, their overcomers would rather die than to deny Jesus. They love not their lives unto the death. I remember a time when I was probably about 12, 13 years of age. I used to hear preachers preach on the rapture of the church. And I would go home in secret. I wouldn't pray this out loud. And I'm surprised that I'm confessing I did this in front of you. But I would go home, and in my private prayer, I would say, "Oh Lord, please don't come until I get a car, until I get to." May I just tell you that that's not the last time I prayed about a car. And I'll not bore you with some of the prayers I've prayed since then about cars. But you see, it's God has placed in us. It's in our nature to want to live as long as we can. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be married, to hold your children in your arms, and then your grandchildren in your arms. I have preached hundreds of funerals over the years and been in almost every kind of situation you can imagine at a funeral. And you know, I've preached funerals of people that were in their 90s. And the family said, "Oh, why did God have to take him now? My goodness, give the man a break." I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but some point in time, you know, let's go to heaven. The fact of the matter is, we are never ready to give our loved ones up. And unless God gives us a measure of grace that we don't have right now, we're not ever going to be ready to die either. You've heard people say, "I wish I could just die." You don't either. You're blowing smoke. You don't want to die. You know what? You just don't live anymore. And there's a difference. You're sick and tired of what life has dished out to you. You're tired of it. You've had it all, done it all, tried it all. Clicked into KOCO.com yesterday to see where the storms were. There's a picture flashed up on my screen of Steve McNair. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, Super Bowl. Almost won a Super Bowl. Anybody heard of somebody named Michael Jackson? Maybe, let me rephrase that. Have you heard of anything else besides Michael Jackson? I'm not making fun of him. My heart goes out to his family. But friends, what are your billions going to do you? What good is it going to be when you get out to the end of the way? You can't buy it. Madoff's 180 billions or whatever it was that he got off with, he couldn't buy one teeny microscopic size drop of the blood of Jesus Christ with all of his billions. Because it's not for sale. It's free. Don't prostitute it. Don't pollute it. It's free. Just accept it. God says it's yours. It's your gift. Overcomers would rather die than deny Jesus. Now, this is becoming more and more of an American issue. It hasn't been forever. But it's becoming an American issue. There are people in power today who want to see Christians dead. You better believe it. They want to see the church stamped out. They'd like to do away with the Bibles. And by the way, isn't that kind of what happened in 1917 in Russia? Get rid of all the Bibles. Get rid of God. Boy, God's hard to get rid of. Can you say, man? See, he's hard. He just keeps coming back. Every once in a while, you know, they think they got rid of him, and he'll stick his head up and say, I'm back. I told you, imagination was a good thing to have. You get up here in front of this bunch and look out there, you better have something. Funning you? Overcomers love not their lives unto the death. This is the message I've been receiving from the Holy Spirit for several months now. This is not it. This is not it. This is temporary. I don't know what's going to happen any more than you know what's going to happen. But I can tell you this, Matthew 10 and 24, Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, none of these things move me. Paul said, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus teaching in Matthew 24 verse 13 said, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 in the NIV says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in the Lord is not in vain. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We look at things differently than does our God. That's because we're finite beings and He is infinite. Can I just be honest with you as I close this message today? Can I be honest with you? Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39 has been a beautiful comfort, at least parts of it. But there's always been some of this that I've struggled with. I really have. I've wondered about some of it, and it's beginning to clear up in my mind why Paul said what he did. Let's read it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know how I think? God, if you love me, you're going to keep me alive. I'm not talking to anybody here. You understand where I'm coming from? God, if you really love me, and if I'm praying and doing what, you know, God, you're going to keep me alive for a long, long time. And that may be. But in God's eyes, there's not a great deal of difference in me living for Him right here now in this physical body that you can see and hear and reach out and touch. And if I were to die and you put this body in a hole in the ground and my spirit and soul be with God, I will be just as alive then. I will be more alive then than I ever have been now. You see, with God, there are no punctuation marks. There are no colons or semicolons. There's not, we're gonna contact the publisher and we'll put out another Bible. That's what we'll do. We'll put out another Bible to take care of all the things that, you know, have gone wrong in this first one. No, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't need to publish another book. He doesn't need to correct any mistakes. He makes no mistakes. It's all written down. I don't know when I'm going to go to meet my Lord, but it surely won't be very long. Amen. And if you come around, if you happen to be alive and you happen to attend my funeral, and you come around and you look at my body in that casket, and you say, oh, doesn't he look natural? I'm going to sit right up and give you what for. Thinking that you thought I looked dead all the years that you knew me on this earth. No, I won't look natural. Praise God. Hallelujah. No. On that resurrection morning, when the last trump of God shall sound, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in the weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'm doing what the old people used to do, singing old songs. But I'm going to tell you, I've hung on to that one. Thank God, I'm glad we're going to get a new body. I'm glad we'll have a new life. Hallelujah! I'm glad this is not all of it here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. People who make it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. They make it through the word of their testimony. And they make it because they love God enough that death doesn't rattle. It doesn't rattle. Say, you wanting to die? Well, maybe in 40 or 50 years. Of course not. I don't want to die. But if I do, I'm going to tell you something about heaven. Heaven is more than just being handed an oversized bathrobe and appointed to a fleecy cloud so that you can lay on a fleecy cloud wearing an oversized bathrobe and playing a one-stringed harp. How many hear what I'm saying? Thank God, heaven is going to be, heaven is going to take your breath away. Heaven is just out of this world. Glory to God. Better than anything you've ever imagined. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Every once in a while, the Spirit reveals the deep and secret things, and we get little glimpses of it. God doesn't allow us to linger there too long, because if we did, we wouldn't be fit for anything on this earth. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we knew a little bit about it, we would never be content staying here. Never. God wants us here right now. God wants us here. He's put His mark on us. He loves us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I have a contract with heaven. Praise the Lord. I didn't even draw the contract up. God drew it up. Hallelujah. And they didn't have a regular ink pen. So Jesus signed the contract in His own blood. Glory to God. I've got a contract. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for every person in this room today that has heard this message. Lord, if they have never bowed the knee before You to ask You to come into their heart and be their Lord and Savior, I pray that this will be the day that they do it. Father, we do not know the future. We don't know it. We do not know what may befall us even before we have an opportunity to meet again as a body of believers. But Lord, we know this. Our hope is in You. Our trust is in You. Our faith is in You. We know if we leave this place, Lord, the death angel should come to claim. We know, Lord, that we will be with You forever. Wherever You are, that's where we're going to be. I pray for those, Lord Jesus, that have never accepted You as their Savior. Father God, they may have preconceived ideas about what all they got to do, what all they got to learn, how much stuff they've got to memorize and spout back to a preacher somewhere, what they've got to give up, what they've got to drop, what they... with their head bowed, their heart open, and Jesus coming into their souls to save them. Sing it softly, Daddy. Go ahead and sing it. Join Him, church, and sing it.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Congregation, stand with me, please. If you want to come to the Lord this morning, this is prayer time. There will be a number of people to come to the altar. There will be others that will pray at their seats before they leave the building. But if you'd like to give your heart to Jesus this morning, unashamedly, step out in the aisle and come and kneel at one of these altars. Jesus openly was crucified for you and me. Let's be not ashamed of Him. If you want to get saved, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, just be bold and step out. Come to an altar, kneel and pray. God will receive you. He will love you. He will bathe your soul in such marvelous love that you won't know what hit you. That's His love. I'm opening the altars. It's prayer time. The altars are open for everyone. Come and let us pray. You're not comfortable praying at the altar if you cannot find a place to kneel around the altar or the front of this auditorium. Please kneel at your seat. physically, if you can't kneel at your seat, just bow for a little while. Just talk to God. Pray to Him. Bless His name.
Love your God.